Hello, and welcome back to the Equipped Men Podcast, the podcast where we explore what it means to be a man of God in the 21st century. I'm your host, Luke Wance. Welcome back, as I said, and this week I am joined with a great friend of mine, John Flagger. He's a dad, he's a husband, he's been a pastor, he's just an all-around great guy. He's jack of all trades, master of none. He's a great guy to know. John, how you doing?
Doing great, man. Glad to be in the studio with you today, just to take the opportunity to fellowship and let God lead us today.
Yeah, I know we've been talking. I've been talking a while about getting you down here, and it's just life happens, and
for sure, man, for sure. Yeah.
So I could do the intro of, you know, hey, how you doing? But I think we're just gonna get into the meat of things.
Sounds great.
So, in your mind, in your heart, what does it mean to be a man of God?
Well, in this day and age, to be a man of God is definitely being focused not only on your primary goals of taking care of your family, but to be a man of God means that you're striving for something beyond yourself. You're striving for a goal and a purpose and a direction. Probably the best way to put that is to allow yourself to flow into something more than yourself.
I like
that. And I really think we lose focus on that, trying to attain money, houses, cars, lands, whatever. And to really achieve something, you have to get outside yourself and really allow God to become a part of you. And that's what I think becoming a part of being a man is really about.
Yeah, I like that. Yeah, it's that where is your identity? Where is your purpose?
And if for sure.
Yeah, and I know my wife has said it many times, and I'm going to kind of grab it, but, you know, if you have to go outside of God to get something, so often you're going to have to stay outside of God to keep it.
That's a fact, man.
Yeah. And I mean, I know that you've, like I said, you've been a pastor. You've seen many times the people of God just kind of go in and out of...
It's sad, yes. Seeing people come in, seeing people go out, seeing a church in general be good, bad, ugly, and most certainly it's a struggle sometimes to find out, you know, why people aren't where they ought to be, and it's usually because they're not being genuine, being real with themselves or with those around them.
Yeah, and it's hard because sometimes it's like you see that on somebody, and you see them going through it, and you're going to tap them on the forehead so ever so gently and be like, pay attention. This is what's going on.
Yeah. Wake up to reality. Hello here.
Yeah. And I know earlier we were having a conversation about transparency, and we were like, it was funny because you're like, yeah, Luke, you should do something about that on your podcast. I'm like, yeah, let's hit record. Let's go.
Absolutely. I think really, you know, in ministry, you know, being in ministry now over 20 years, I found that most pastors, most theologians, if you want to put it that way, lose sight of the fact of just being transparent, just telling people, hey, you know, it's not like you think it is, and we're all human.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's really sad when we put on, let's just say a mask, you know, let's just, you know, a facade, or we put on this, you know, perfect picture of, you know, how we want people to see us. And we don't get transparent enough so people can see how we really become the men and the women that God wants us to be, you know, or to be, in this case, you know, being the man that God wants. And to be that way, you have to really be transparent with yourself. You have to be transparent with those around you, weaknesses, strengths, faults, you know, likes, dislikes, whatever it might be. And sometimes it exposes things. And even in ministry, you know, I've got trouble more often than not.
Yeah.
Just being flat out, you know, this is this, and this is how it is, and just telling the truth. And, you know, I've had scholars way far more educated in scripture than I am, you would say things like, you know, you ought to sugarcoat that a little bit. And I'm going,
yeah,
no, that's not what got me saved. That's not what got me delivered. That's not what shook my life. And, yeah. So transparency is a big thing.
Yeah. And I agree. And I know it goes, you know, so much more than just
like the pastoral ministry, because, you know, as husbands, as fathers, you know, it's, we need that level of transparency to let our wives and our kids kind of in, because we want to instill that quality into them, you know, especially into our kids, of with transparency comes strength. You know, I've said sometimes one of your greatest strengths is to be vulnerable. And that doesn't mean that you're weak, but it means that you allow people in. You know, sometimes so many people, it's like they feel like they have to have their walls up to be a strong person. And it's like, you need that transparency. You need that vulnerability to let people in, because that's where your strength is, to be able to let people in.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, there are things to protect your families from, and there are things that you have to be, okay, this is why we do this way.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't matter if it's, you know, clothing, dress, music, whatever, or why we walk this way on the street. You know, it's,
yeah.
There are times to be absolutely transparent, and then there are those times when you need to be protected for sure.
Yeah. And I think when you have that, when you've already established that base of transparency and vulnerability, and this is why we do this is why we do that, then when something urgent happens and you're like, we need to do this now, it's okay, I know there's a reason and I know there's urgency, so I'm not going to question it or buck up against it. I'm just going to, okay, we go now and then we'll talk later.
Yep, they know why to move and why not to move. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. So to shift a little bit and to kind of talk about transparency, you and I have talked about how you got saved, how you came to know Jesus. Share your story. I love hearing the stories. You know, I love the stories of people that have loved Jesus from day one, but I also love the stories of people that didn't and then came to love Jesus, you know?
For sure. You know, my story's kind of in itself unique. And I tell people often, you know, I've been in and out of church my entire life. You know, I had a drug problem before I knew what drugs were.
Yeah.
my grandma, blessings to her. But I'm going to say she's saved now, but she used to drag me to Jehovah Witness churches on a regular basis. Knowing the truth now, I go, man, what an occult. You know, what a works-based ministry. You know, and people say, well, how can you look at it like that? But that's just truth. But on my side of the fence, I ran so hard from God, from everything. I didn't really have a very, what we'd call seeker-friendly, cozy childhood or life.
Yeah.
And, you know, so I was in drugs. I was in alcohol. I'd playing around with witchcraft. I was doing things that were just awful, you know, and I knew it. And I just, you know, we were on our way back from kind of a string out kind of deal where I was tripping on acid, and we were kind of coming up, happened to see a sign in the front yard of a church, and it's kind of a funny situation because I kind of like nudged my buddy, oh, what an opportunity, man. We can't let this pass by. And he's like, what are you talking about? I'm like, look, dude, right there, they got a sign out front that says, come mess with us. And, you know, I think about it now, and I think about the pastors because I'm still good friends with them. You know, are walking in the back and just being a mess and, you know, sitting there listening to, you know, at that time in my mind's eye, I'm going, this is just nonsense.
Yeah.
There is no God. What are you all talking about?
Yeah.
And, you know, they're worshiping and we're throwing Kleenex boxes at the backs of their head and just having a good old time. You know, we're being heathens. We're just straight up a mess. And I could just remember getting more and more irritated every time I had to get up and walk over and pick up the Kleenex box and look at the guy or the gal and be like, hello, that hit you in the head. Why didn't you say anything? You know? And, you know, it got to the end of the service and, you know, as any good church, we'll say it like that.
Yeah.
You know, had an altar call, you know, and, you know, I'd seen it time and time again, and I, wasn't really impressed. I, you know, immediately was appalled at where it was going. I knew kind of the what for of what to expect.
And, yeah.
I told my buddies, I said, you know what? I'm just going to have some real fun now. I'm just going to go up. I'm going to pray their little three-word prayer, and I'm going to, you know, let them have it.
Yeah.
And I'm going to tell them that there is no God. And, you know, saying that now and knowing what comes here in just a minute, you know, as I walk to the front, as I approach the pastor and, you know, as his little dainty wife, you know, there beside him, and she began to look at me and give me what I would call the English bulldog look. She's like, you didn't come here, boy,
yeah,
to get saved. You didn't come here to make good. You come here to be, you know, just an abomination kind of deal. You know, you kind of make trouble. And as, you know, she let me know, she said, you kind of make a mockery of God, and God's about to make a mockery of you. And I just kind of looked at, oh, no, no, no. I come to get Jesus, you know. I, man, even in this room now, as I begin to tell the story, I can feel the Holy Spirit rising up.
Yeah.
But I remember just getting madder and madder by the second as she began to push and he began to push. And, you know, as they're like, well, if you just let God have you, you know, all your, you know, you just, you'd be free. And I began to say things like, if you knew who I was,
yeah,
you wouldn't say this. If you knew my, you know, my whore of a mother, you know, my mom's a stripper, a drug addict. If you would have known who she was, you wouldn't say I could be free.
Yeah.
If you knew that I'm going out the back door of the school because I don't want to be there, or I'm beating up kids at school just to spill blood because I was angry and violent and mean, and, you know, those that know me now go, there ain't no way you were. How could you possibly be a mean person? I said,
yeah.
You know, so as the moment just kept pressing and as the Spirit began to get heavy, I could sense all those things. Even as a heathen, I could tell that something was pushing on me, and I began to get mad.
Yeah.
You know, and just madder and madder and madder. And, you know, as the preacher's wife come in close, grabbed a hold of my shirt, and I could smell her breath even now. And she just, you know, if you just let God love you, you know, if you just, there ain't no God, you know. And I just, you know, I wanted out of there. I wanted out of this little circle of hope that they were forming because they weren't letting me leave. Every time they pulled me back, I began to cry and just get mad, you know, and just upset. And I know that there are people out there like me. And even now I think, man, you know, I was a mess. But I come to a breaking point. And I was like, you know, if there was a God, I wouldn't have this life.
Yeah.
If there was a God, everything would be peaches and cream, like the TV preacher talks about.
Yo.
If there was a God, man, everything would be so cozy in my world. And I remember saying, if there was a God, I'd give him a chance. You know, you think, you know, when I say that, just as she began to say, if you just let God, and the pastor, why don't you just ask God to just step in? And I remember closing my eyes, crying and mad and just wanting out of the room and saying, if there's a God, I want him.
Yeah.
And something like lightning, man. I can't describe it any other way, but something like lightning come from heaven, hit me in the top of my head. I was out on the floor. I couldn't move, couldn't get up, couldn't walk, couldn't, just stuck there. And I'm in my mind, just eyes wide open. And, you know, I knew nothing about Holy Spirit, knew nothing about, you know, falling out, being slain. There wasn't nothing that was going, oh, this is Jesus showing up. You know, it wasn't like anything like that. I'm laying there, and in my mind, I'm going, I'm having a bad trip on acid. I can't move. Dude, I should have stopped when I had a chance. Why did I keep going?
Yeah.
And immediately, the sweetest, the softest voice, God said, I am God. And I do love you. And even now, those words.
Yeah.
Quicken my spirit that I know I have now. And I laid there and just, oh my, there is a God.
Yeah.
And, man, I might have been there a minute, might have been there an hour, who knows. But I remember getting up off the floor, and I had been saying repeatedly, there is no God, there is no God, there is no God.
Yeah.
And I'd went to the front to prove there was no God. God had made a mockery of me.
Yeah.
I got up stumbling around just trying to find my bearings, and the preacher's wife leads in to this day. She says, is there a God?
Oh.
I said, yes, there is a God, and he loves me. He loves me.
Yeah.
There's a God. I was no longer strung out. I was sober.
Wow.
I had the stench of the world on me, but I was so sober. Everything was crystal clear.
Yeah.
And she said, boy, wouldn't you like the comforter? Wouldn't you like more of God?
Ooh.
Wouldn't you like to have even more? And all I could say was, there's more? this God that I've been telling everybody doesn't exist, this God that I was certain every church I had been to did not exist, this God that has been vacant from every a church, Baptist, Methodist, Lutheran, Catholic, Jehovah's Witness, every church I'd been to, he was not in.
Yeah.
There's God. I'm going, there is more than what I have just experienced. And you ask me if I want more? You ask me if... I was like, absolutely. And she just kind of blew on me. She's like, just kind of blew on me. And I hit the floor, at least I thought, right where I was. I got up minutes later, hours later. I have no clue.
Yeah.
But I was now 8 rows back through folding chairs.
Wow.
And I couldn't walk straight. I was more drunk than I'd ever been in my life, but speaking a tongue that I did not understand.
Yeah.
And as I stumbled around and kind of come forward and sat down on the chair, and God had spoke to me again, and he had called me to preach.
Wow.
And I thought, me? God, me? I'm going to preach your word?
Yeah.
And I think at that moment, and as we talk about transparency, that's when I learned how to be transparent.
Yeah.
It's when God grabbed me. He didn't care what I smell like.
Yeah.
He didn't care what I look like. He didn't care where I come from. But he was my father. He was my advocate.
Hmm. Yeah.
And when I went back to sit down next to the girl that I'd been messing around with, I went to go back to sit back down beside Bobby McDonald and Chris Jones and Leslie Clark and all these that I'd been out drinking and partying with and going under the bridge and doing things that I knew were not of God. When I went back to go sit with these people that were going to a church, but we're messing around in the world. When I went to sit down beside them, I couldn't contain myself, speaking in tongues and shaking like a leaf, like somebody had a palm branch, going, Hosanna, Hosanna. I look like a shaking branch, man. And my buddies, of course, they ain't friends now.
Yeah.
But when I got finally out to the old car, big old blue, baby blue Lincoln, when I got in that old car, my buddy said, we're going to take you to the hospital, John. You're just having a bad trip on acid. No, I found Jesus, man. I found God.
Yes.
It wasn't 1 week later, my dad kicked me out of the house.
Wow.
My world wasn't peaches and cream, but every minister I'd ever seen or heard from the pulpit told me if I had God, it'd be just smooth as butter. But it wasn't.
Yeah.
So transparency is important.
Yeah.
Your people need to know.
Yes.
Who your God is.
Yeah.
And who you are. You know, sometimes you got to tell people where you come out of.
Mm-hmm.
There ain't very many testimonies anymore. People don't testify. They give you a song and a dance, and they just some little coding.
Yeah.
What happened? My Bible says, by the word of your testimony, you overcome.
Yeah.
But we're not overcoming because we're not sharing the authority and the power of God.
Yeah.
Well, I've rambled quite a bit. Brother, you better take the mic.
And, you know, and kind of along those lines, too, it's I've heard and experienced that, you know, it's not just, you know, the word of our testimony and all, but it's almost, you know, somebody's testimony is your prophecy.
100%.
You know, and it's great to hear those testimonies. It's great to hear those, you know, the here's where I was, you know, I really was this down and out, and then Jesus, you know, because it is, yeah. It's something to grab onto, you know, it's that thread of hope, you know, but it's, we have to be transparent enough to say, yes, I was at rock bottom. You know, I don't want to steal anybody's thunder, but you know, I've had friends that are, you know, their marriages have fallen apart. You know, they were bound. You know, others that were bound by pornography. You know, others that were just bound by addiction, and it's just, but they were able to turn it around with nothing but Jesus.
Amen.
You know,
amen.
And by them sharing their testimonies, you know, I mean, one I've got a friend, he was raised in a Christian household, you know, his dad was a pastor and he was still bound, but then to have him tell his testimony and tell his story, and it's just, you know, it's something to hold on to. Mm-hmm. You know, it's those reminders of, yes, God really can conquer everything. You know, there really is hope out there as long as you seek him out, you know, that nothing is too far gone, that no matter how bad we try to screw up our lives,
amen.
God's always right there to say, I got you. I got you.
Absolutely.
You know, just as much as important as it is for us as men to be there for other men, to say, I've got your back. You know, even more so, that's how God is, you know, for all of us, you know, and we have to take that step to say, here's where I was. It's like, you see where I'm at now, but let me tell you where I am. Or where I was, you know, let me tell you of the steps that God brought me out of. You know, there are some people that they see me now and, you know, I've got good marriage, good kids, good life, going to church, on the security team, you know, I'm serving, I'm talking, you know, I'm doing all these things. And they're like, oh, your life is great. You know, it's always been great. And I'm like, no, it's not. It hasn't always been great.
Well, they don't understand with every great battle, there's a victory.
Yeah.
And the greater the battle, the greater the victory. And you think it's good now.
Yeah.
Well, you didn't see what I had to go through. Or,
right.
You know, me and Jesus had to get through something to become something.
Yeah.
You know, everybody thinks, oh, they got their act together. It's all right. They, not always.
Yeah. And, you know, when you were talking about, you know, how some people talk about, you know, when you get God, you know, it's everything's going to be easy and oh, you know, get saved and everything's going to line up. I said it once years ago, and it was one of those things I had no idea I was going to say it, and then it just came out. And it's like, that's one of those things that I've said in the moment, and I was able to hold on to it, because a lot of times I just say it and it's gone. But it was, you know, that concept of now that I've found Jesus, why isn't my life better? You know, and it was one of those things of, you know, for military people, when you enlist in the military, the enemy doesn't say, oh, John enlisted, I'm out. You know, the
War's
enemy
over.
Doesn't do that. You know, just because we enlist, just because we raise our hand and say, oh, yes, I'm now, the enemy's not going to leave you alone just because you found Jesus, you know? And I think it's important that we remember that, because I've run into other people like that. They're like, you know, our church, that we go to, you know, for a while, it had the reputation of people would move cross country to attend this church and visit from all over to come to this church. And there were people, they'd move here, they'd start coming to church, and they're like, but my marriage isn't better. My kids aren't better. My life's not better. I moved and I started coming to this church full time. Why isn't my life all of a sudden better? It's like, that's not how this works.
You know, people don't realize that there's a cost.
Yeah.
You know, it's a great cost, a great price to get close to God. You know, everybody, you know, well, that's a free gift. I've heard that forever. Oh, it's a free gift. Salvation's a free gift. Yeah, it's a free gift. He gave it all for us, but there's something expected in return, and that is to give all to Him. You know, it costs something. So that means you have to be willing to give up all the little things that hold you back or all the little self-centered stuff that's kept you from having a good life. You know?
And not just that, but again, you know, I don't know where it is, but I know there's that scripture in the Bible that talks about the enemy is prowling like a hungry lion. The enemy is here to kill, steal, and destroy. You know, it's if that's what the enemy is doing, knowing that the enemy is actively on patrol to take us out, why would we think that just because we sided with God, why do we think that the enemy is all of a sudden going to be like, oh, nope, they're off limits? You know? But again, I think that kind of goes back to the transparency of it's not just our testimonies, but it's also our daily battles, you know, our daily struggles. You know, it's, you know, I really struggled to pray today. I really struggled to read the word. I struggled to be a pleasant person when I went out in public, you know, and it's sharing those things, you know, it's being transparent about those things of, you know, hey, I still struggle. You know, I struggle with this. I struggle with that. You know, it's having the openness and the willingness to raise your hand and say, I need help in this area, even though I'm saved. You know, even though I'm saved, I don't know how to be a better dad. I don't know how to be a better husband. Help. I think a lot of men need that encouragement of it's okay to do that. It's okay to struggle.
Absolutely. It's okay. And at the same time, we need to learn as men that, you know, it's okay to admit and say, hey, I need a little help in this area. You know, if we'd find security not just in self-centeredness, but in the fact that we need a self-centered God at the center of everything and find people that are, you know, going the same direction, comrades in arms, you know, that they'll come alongside you, you know, and they'll help you when you're struggling.
Yeah.
You know, I used to tell people all the time that, you know, they'd say, well, you know, it's gotten rough. I was like, well, you're alive then. That means you're swimming upstream like a powerful, mighty salmon.
Yeah.
I said, once you're a dead fish and floating downstream, you ain't got much to think about or worry about. So, yeah, I think if we'd learn to say, hey, you know, Luke, I need this, or hey, I need this help here, or, you know, just admit when we're in a weak state. You know, and tell people, hey, I've hit the wall. I've gotten as far as I feel like I can get with God. Help me get the next step.
Yeah.
And that transparency is needed, especially among men.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think, you know, I've heard some people that when we're struggling in one area, oftentimes it's almost easier for us to push through for a friend or somebody else. You know, it's like, I won't admit out loud where I feel like I'm falling short, but I will push and pray for you all day long.
It's kind of like that splinter in one's eye and a plank in the other.
Yep.
It's kind of that mentality.
Yep.
But yeah, I mean, Moses and, you know, and certainly Aaron and all them, when they held his hands up, you know, we need people that are saying, hey, let me hold you up. Let me push this through for you. And sometimes in those moments, that's when we become stronger to take down the things that we're struggling with ourselves.
Yeah. And you know, for the people, for the guys listening, it's not like when you ask for help or admit that you're weak or struggling, it's not like you break down. You know, we're not saying break down in front of people and be like, oh my gosh, I'm worthless. but again, it's just that raising of hands of, raising your hand and just saying, I need help in this area, or I feel like I'm falling short in this area.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, we have a world around us that is, has convinced men so long that we have to be emotionless, have no, countenance about us.
Yeah.
That we need to, look the part of, this big buff guy. But, at the same time, we have tender times and we have times that we need to be strong. But why do we have to be somebody that has to do it on our own? When we have those little partner with us.
Yeah.
And that's not just saying, well, Jesus has got you. You and him make up the majority. Absolutely. Make up the majority. But you have fellow brothers that are walking with you in the same fight that you might have made it through something that they're needing help with. And you might be the thing that spurs them on. You might be the thing that lifts them up. You might be the very testimony, the very prophetic word that gives them the answer to the equation. You know, hey, this isn't just, we need some answers. And certainly I've had times in my life where early on in marriage, we talk about so often, men, they go, we don't like to admit we have weak moments, but early in my marriage, I thought, man, I've done so much. I've done things that were, how do I be true to my wife? I want to give her every pleasure she could possibly have. And how do I find what's the absolute pleasure? Well, men fall prey to pornography and things. And matter of fact, I had people tell me, if it's in marriage, it's okay. Man, I tell you what. People need God answers. You need the Song of Solomon. Amen. You need to go and find that God is a very passionate, intimate person.
Yes.
But you need truth. You don't need what the world has, but you need something that's going to bring you to a place of understanding in all things. It doesn't matter what it is, but you can have weakness, and people say, well, it's okay. You can be okay with that. You gotta stand where God's at, and you've got to be able to be strong in places that the enemy is attacking. And that means you might have to partner with somebody and find an accountability partner and say, hey, here I am.
Yeah.
I don't need to go through the boo-hoos, and I don't need somebody that's going to cry with me. I just need somebody that's going to say, hey, you, dummy, wake up.
Yep.
Over here.
Yep.
So we need those moments.
Yeah. And, as you're saying that, and talking about how we partner with God and, we partner with Jesus and that's, the core. Even Jesus surrounded himself with 12 other men.
Oh, absolutely.
I hate to say it like this, but if it was good enough for Jesus,
it's got to be good enough for us, right?
What's holding us back? I mean, I have a good idea what's holding us back, but...
Well, a lot of it's pride and arrogance.
That's what I was about to say.
We don't want to be transparent and say, hey, I'm struggling with this, or I'm struggling... it doesn't matter if it's marriage, it doesn't matter if it's sexual, it doesn't matter if it's financial, it doesn't matter if it's a car issue, it doesn't matter what it is that we struggle with. If we can be transparent and say, hey, I'm weak in this area.
Yeah.
I mean, Jesus, Peter, James, and John, he said, hey, come pray with me a little while.
Yeah.
Sometimes you got to find somebody.
Yeah.
Hey, I need this moment.
Yeah.
Come and get in this moment with me. This is my trash. This is my yuck right now. I just want you to know, be warned, here I am.
Yeah.
This is that moment. But can you get in here and pray with me a little bit? Can you get in here and wrestle with me a little bit? That's how you get breakthrough. That's how you find a dynamic of growth, not only just for yourself or for me, but for both. For whoever's involved, that's how you triumph. That's when you're transparent into the point where you can rely. Call somebody up and say, hey, I just cracked a beer. I used to be an alcoholic, and now here I'm drinking because somebody said it's okay to drink. I used to tell people all the time, you do what you want to do, but if I have a problem, I'm not going to go sit on a bar stool.
Right.
And act like a fool, what I mean? So we have to find an avenue where we can say, okay, I got to be honest with me.
Yeah.
This is my weakness.
Yeah.
I'm not going to toy with this because this will destroy me. And sometimes you got to find a partner and say, hey, this is my area.
Yeah.
And it doesn't have to be a folly of sin. It doesn't have. No. If we just, it's kind of like, Luke, love you, man. I enjoy helping you fix your vehicle, even if you break it more as we're going. It's good.
Yeah. You know, and it is, you know, and I mean, speaking of fixing vehicles, you know, to a degree, I struggled with admitting, John, I need help. I need help with figuring out how to fix my car. You know, but it is, that's because I still struggle with that of I should know how to fix things, or I should be able to figure out on my own of how to handle it, you know. And I love that you've gotten to a point where you're like, nope, that's silly, let's just break down that wall.
Yeah, let's tear it down, man.
You know, so it is, it's great to surround yourself with men that are, you know, sometimes at different points in their lives, you know, and not just different points in their lives, but different points in their walk with Jesus, you know, because you can glean from the experience, from the wisdom, but you can also get that new, fresh perspective from somebody that's new. You know, from somebody that's a little more youthful in their walk, if you will. You know, because
absolutely,
because it is. You're like, wow, I never thought about it that way, or I don't think I would have looked it up to see that angle of the scripture or this concept.
Oh yeah, yeah.
You know, it's really great. You know, because I wanna figure out a way to expound on it, but you know, even the concept of, you know, that scripture of, I forget how exactly it goes, but it's the iron sharpening iron.
Oh yeah.
You know, and it's, I've always, you know, in the past, I've always thought of it as, you know, like two swords or two knife blades, you know, like rubbing up against each other. We're sharp. Woo! Watch us go. And it's, I've slowly been trying to dig more into that. And it's not two blades coming and rubbing against each other to make them each sharp. You need like one blade and then one file. You need something that's a little bit abrasive. You need something that's going to take material away to sharpen. You know, so you need that voice, that brother that is going to challenge your thinking, that's going to maybe break down some of the thoughts of what you've already got going on, somebody that's going to force you to grow in certain areas so that you can be sharper. Mm-hmm. You know, and I mean, I'm sure other people have thought of this, because I mean, obviously other people have thought of this. I've read some of this online, but like when I saw that and started thinking that way, it's like it challenged my thinking of that, you know, because it is. It's, oh, you're sharp in Jesus, I'm sharp in Jesus. We're gonna pray together and we're gonna be great.
Sometimes two sharp objects just become blunt objects.
They do. Yep. You know, and then it's just dangerous because you've got two people that are just, they're basically spinning their wheels on the ice, and you know, you're not going to go anywhere.
For sure.
You know, you're not going to take ground. You're not going to help people if all of a sudden you're blunt. You know, it's funny. It's like thinking about that. I remember my, you know, I was raised kind of Boy Scout type stuff and thinking, and my dad always taught me that nothing is more dangerous than a dull blade.
Hurts you worse than anything else.
It does. You know, and now it's like, you know, thinking that and thinking the iron sharpens iron and two sharp blades will just dull each other. And it's like, you know, we're going to make ourselves dangerous and we're going to end up hurting people.
That's really what's happened in religion. I really think so. You know, I think in ministry in general, you know, being in ministry as long as I have, I've seen a lot of people get hurt. So they take a context of scripture, they think they're super wise on it, and they're just a blunt object, and you know, they haven't ever allowed anybody to file away
yeah.
the rest of the edges that needed filed, or, you know, however you want to, you know, depict that. But, you know, you're never so far that God can't file you and God can't use somebody else.
Yeah.
I mean, your boy's a prime example of that. He's very deep sometimes.
Yeah.
Which is awesome. You know, it just shows Jesus growing in him, you know, in faith. The same God that works in you and you and I is working in that young man. And you know, so we have to be willing to take great theological stuff that may seem very simple. You know, I think we, you know, misplace that sometimes. Like, that, you know, that's just baby food. But really, that may be the file you need.
Yeah,
that might be the very thing that, you know, somebody needs to know, the simplest of things. You know, Jesus loves you.
Yeah.
You know? And, you know, they've heard, you know, all the theological stuff, but they need something just simple.
Yeah.
You know, we need a file. We need somebody to be abrasive. I'm pretty good at that in my life.
And I appreciate it. I appreciate that role. So, as we wrap up, I know we covered a lot. Any final thoughts, any final wisdom or advice or suggestions that you'd like to pass on to help people remember, you know, that kind of some of the concepts, the transparency, you know, even the iron sharpening iron, just any final wisdom that you'd like to pass on?
You know, I would encourage, you know, those that hear this and, you know, take this moment, this time, and take it in, that you would find somebody, you know, find you a partner in ministry, a partner in crime, you know, those that are listening to this that are in the body and those that listen to this that are not of the body. I would encourage you to find somebody to glean from, grow in, begin to inspire yourself to become better than yourself. And in that, be transparent with somebody. You know, be real with where you are. You know, we need people that we can be honest with and say, hey, this is where I'm at. This is what I'm struggling with. Don't hold it in. Don't hide it. Don't try to cover up the wounds. Don't try to cover up the things that might be holding you back. And just find somebody to latch on to and say, hey, I need somebody to be my, you know, my other end of the rope, so to speak, to pull me up.
Yeah.
And, you know, so I would encourage, you know, with significant pressure on the fact that you need somebody.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, talking about men in general here, you know, a lot of times guy thinks, well, as soon as I find a wife, I will have found a good thing. That's what the Bible says, and I'll be a great man.
Yeah.
No, you need to be a great man now.
Yes.
If you're not already married, if you're not already in a relationship, and if you are, you can be a great man. Find your God and find a brother to walk with and grow, and you'll become greater.
Amen. That was awesome. John, thank you. Thank you for stopping in. Thank you for sitting down and letting me record you.
Thank you, brother, for the time. And it's not exactly my forte, but I'm glad and I'm honored.
Yeah.
Anytime.
Because people need to hear your voice.
I hear that often, and I go, I'm a nobody, but God is a somebody in me.
That's right. All right, guys. Until next time, stay fit, be well.